Welcome to the Power Hour. I'm Adrienne Herbert, wellness coach, international speaker, and author. Each week, I speak to a variety of guests, from business founders to Olympic athletes, leading coaches, change makers, and innovators, to find out their daily habits, their rules to live by, and what motivates them to get up out of bed each day. Personally, I am on a mission to encourage, motivate, and inspire, so I hope that the Power Hour will help you to achieve your personal and professional goals. Welcome back to the Power Hour podcast. Today, I'm joined by the founder and CEO of the award-winning Peanut app. Peanut is a social network for women. It enables them to meet other like-minded women, build friendships, and find support. Michelle Kennedy, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I've got so many things to talk to you about. I've met you a few times over the years, and I feel that anyone who I know who knows you, if your name ever comes up, people are just like, oh, Michelle, isn't she the best? Isn't she the best? You know, women in business. I feel like whether you know it or not, I feel like you do such a good job. And I hate the words role model, but I think there's a lot of women in business who look to you as this beacon of power and just entrepreneurship. So yeah, I just wanted to let you know that.
Thanks. I get emotional about things like that. That's so important to me. It's why I do what I do. And I love Peanut, and I love every opportunity that it's brought me and every privilege that it's brought me. And just always obsessed with paying it forward and making sure that everyone gets a helping hand when they need it, because we all need it. My God, I need it every day. So it makes me feel emotional. Thank you.
Well, I want to talk to you today about business, about entrepreneurship, technology, about female friendship, so many big topics. So let's jump right in. First up, I suppose, for any listeners who maybe don't know the story, could you tell us why and how you created the Peanut app?
So I used to work in the dating industry, actually. So in a slightly different way, I was connecting women with potential love mates and love partners and love matches. I loved it. It was at a time when tech wasn't what it is today. It certainly wasn't glamorous. It was kind of really unspoken. Facebook was really just about coming about, in London in particular. They just opened a really chic office in Covent Garden, and I remember being like, wow. And I was working in a not very chic office in Soho, doing something similar, but it was so exciting, and I really felt like I was at the frontier of something and involved in something which was brand new and interesting, and I was learning every day and surrounded by people much smarter than me. I was also pregnant, or a few years into the journey, I should say. I became pregnant, and that was a weird change. I was working with predominantly young guys, right? So they were 20-something guys drinking Red Bull, writing code, and I was going to be a mum, and that felt weird and exciting, but kind of I didn't really think about what it meant to my life. We started building another product, and that product became Bumble, and that was, you know, incredibly exciting. Again, this was a brand new opportunity to have a different product with a different tone of voice. I was working very closely with Whitney, and you know, she, anyone who knows her, she's, you know, very, very instinctive about market and brand and what women want to hear and what people want to hear. And so really loving and learning that. And at this point, my son was 6 months old. So I was living like a double life, building cool tech in the daytime, and then at nighttime going home to my baby who didn't sleep, and who, you know, it really felt like I didn't know how I was meant to know everything. I was reading weird threads on forums that came about, you know, in the early 2000s. And yeah, it was weird. And I just felt there must be something better. I was also lonely. None of my girlfriends had babies. I didn't find it easy to relate to their lives. They were dating and, you know, snogging boys, which at that point honestly made me feel sick. The thought of anyone touching me, I was like, ooh. And so it was just such a totally different, again, living a dual life. And I had this concept that there must be something better. The women behind me who were coming up, they would expect that there would be these great products for them to use, and there was nothing. It was a desert. And so I felt like I needed to be the one to create it. So I did what everyone does, which is nothing, carried on living life. And then Finn got to around 2.5. And it was just the bigger the kid, the bigger the problem. Like, I had more questions. I still didn't know what I was doing. And now it was about like nursery and, you know, those kind of things. And I just thought, I'm going to do it. So at the end of like 2010, I think it was. At the end of 2016, I decided that I would make the move, and we launched Peanut in 2017. And it was at that moment, it was just a, is it a valid concept that women who are mothers will connect via an app? It was really focused on that new mom phase, and it became everything to me. It became my life's work. It's my total honor and privilege to do it. It's hard, it's difficult, it's complex. Women are complex. We have different expectations, we have different emotional needs, and we have to articulate all of that through some screens on your phone. And that is a challenge that I just love every single day. And we have amazing things happen. Women meet their best friends, their partners meet one another. Women just do incredible acts of kindness to one another when they're in their own environment. And that for me is so special. And we actually don't really talk about it. Everyone loves drama. Everyone loves to talk about when women aren't good to each other.
Yes.
But women are amazing to each other. When they're left to their own environment, the uplift that they give each other, the shout outs they give each other, the you know, just one woman sent her wedding dress to a friend that she met on Peanut because something happened to her wedding dress and it wasn't going to be ready on time. You know, things like that where you're like, oh, but for Peanut, how did that happen? A woman who left a domestic violence situation and she needed somewhere to go and she moved in with her friend that she met on Peanut while she got herself sorted. How did she get out but for Peanut? You know, those kind of things that are just, they're pivotal and they're needed. It was so needed as a product.
Yes. Honestly, so many things racing through my mind listening to that journey and that story. Because as you said, I'm sure it was incredibly difficult and challenging. And I haven't even asked you about, you know, whether people were bought into the idea, whether people backed the idea, whether you got financial funding. There's all these things where you could see for yourself this opportunity from a business perspective. And the word lonely, you know, I wrote that down when you said that, because I was... how old was I when I had my son? 2011. I was 23 years old when I became a mum, and none of my friends were having kids, as you can imagine. In fact, they're all having their first now, and now I'm 36. And I remember then, like, people would come and visit, and it was like, oh my gosh, you've had this baby, isn't this so cute and amazing? And then after about 3 months, everyone's visited, everyone's, you know, it's cute, Adrienne's doing the baby thing now. And then that's it. You're on your own. And I remember going to things being like, oh, I'm going to try and make mates with these other mums. And they'd be like, you know, they were 15 years older than me or 10 years older than me. Then maybe this was their third baby. And they were like, oh, I've got to go and do the school run for the other two. It was this whole world that I just didn't really feel like I had a piece to kind of get into. There was no in for me. And, you know, I hear now a lot of people talking about, you know, their mumhood and their mum crew and this. And I remember looking around being like, where is this mumhood that I'm supposed to be a part of? Like, sign me up. But it just wasn't there. It didn't exist. You know, I'm sure, as I said, I went to, you know, some of the baby classes, baby swim, whatever. But if you don't find your people, they're not your people. You're just there. And the only common ground we had is that we both had a baby. That was it. Whereas now...
And do you know what? Totally, you go to those things, it makes you feel lonelier, right? Mm-hmm. I remember going to those things. You go in, firstly, it's such a mammoth effort to get out of the house, right? And you can't really ever like understand it until you've lived it. You often don't get dressed until 1 o'clock, particularly in those early days, because there's just so much feeding and changing and trying to get a nap and trying to, I don't know, for me, sterilize a bottle, whatever it was. There was just so much to then get out of the house to make it to the class. And then invariably Finn would vomit or would be like the one who did something that would mean that I couldn't then try and hang around. Or you would go and you'd be like, as you say, not my people. Don't know how to even get into this conversation. Also, you all look like you know each other.
Yes.
I don't, how's that happened? What did I miss?
Yeah.
And you'd go home and you'd feel even lonelier than you started the day.
Mm-hmm. And then your actual friends, like I say, not that you can't make new friends as a mum, of course you do, and I did eventually, but your other friends, as you described, you know, whether they were dating, whether they were, you know, moving around for their career, whether they were doing different things, it just did not, it was so different to my day to day. And my sister's actually become a mum last year. A lot of my friends, as I said, are having their first now, because I'm in my mid-30s, everybody's, it's baby season, you know, it's either trying for babies, yeah, or sadly, you know, it's, yeah, it's IVF, it's miscarriages, it's new, it's all of that going on. And yeah, I feel like now it's so different, and so many of them use the peanut app. My sister uses it, she loves it, and I'm almost a little bit envious. I'm like, I needed you, Michelle, I didn't have it.
I love that. I mean, firstly, love that, so happy that your sister uses it, but secondly, yeah, I mean, that is the reality. Where did we go? I have to say that when I had my daughter, and there was a big gap between Finn and my daughter, and that was intentional, because I was so, truly, it was hard. I found it really hard with Finn. And when I had Nu and I could use the app, I mean, life was totally different. Mm. I could meet someone, have a chat with her and be like, listen, also it was lockdown, so I really needed it, because actually things were different. Her development was totally different to my son, because, you know, things were, because I wasn't going to baby massage or whatever. So that was hard and it was different. And it truly changed my experience of motherhood for the better. And I don't know if you really meant to say that about your own app, because it sounds really conceited, but actually it's not about the app. It's just about the ability to connect with other women. At that point, we were experiencing something together. We were trying to raise babies during lockdown, and I needed to speak to other women who were doing the same thing as me at the same time, who I felt like we clicked with.
Yes, and that at the same time thing is so crucial, because, you know, you mentioned the different seasons and the stages, and like the newborn stage, you might know a friend who has a baby, but if they're four, it's completely different. Or for example, as I said, now my son's nearly 13, so I'm thinking about teenage stuff, and I've got friends having their newborns. So literally, I joked about it with my friend the other day. She was saying her daughter's got her first teeth, and I was that day taking my son to the orthodontist to see if he needs braces. It's a completely different phase of motherhood, but so you can still share. But I think the sharing that comes along when you're both doing the same thing at the same time, you can just look at each other and go, you know, you just know. So I want to loop back, because initially in 2017, the app was focused on connecting pregnant women and new mums. And, you know, we've just talked about some of the, you know, some of the benefit there, and I'm sure there's complexity as well. But now, I know that it's more about connecting community members and women in different stages and different, you know, friendship being a real key part of that. So initially when you launched, I'm going to assume that the uptake was good, and that, you know, the feedback must have been amazing, because you've grown so quickly, and from outside looking in, it looks like just such incredible success. So how did you, I suppose, what was the catalyst to say, actually, we need to broaden this? This isn't just about pregnant women or new mums, but actually all women could benefit from this platform.
I think there's a couple of things. The first thing is, it's worth noting, and you know, I think it's quite unspoken, but loneliness can get you when you least expect it, and it can happen to everyone. And you could be someone who knows so many people, who looks the most popular girl in school, and you can be lonely. You know, I have really good girlfriends who will say to me, I am so lonely right now, because of there's something that they're going through that they don't feel connectivity with anyone else who is experiencing it. So that feeling of like not having that connectivity, I think, is the point that you can feel really lonely. And I think that is a real challenge. So part of it is, we are growing up in a very lonely world, right? This is a very, very different society and world to our parents and their parents. We don't grow up where, or we don't stay where we grew up, I should say. We move. There is so much movement now, which means we don't have our village. We don't have, you know, you don't live next door to your sister and round the corner from your auntie. And that isn't how we live anymore. And so that has, and of course, we live so much online. And the pandemic really changed us. And I don't think there are many behaviours that we haven't kind of reverted to. And if you think about some of the studies that are coming out of the US in particular, we are in an epidemic of loneliness, right? They're saying it's more harmful to you than smoking 20 cigarettes a day, the impact of loneliness. And so it's there and it's real and it's not going anywhere. In fact, it's probably just going to migrate into other things and morph into its own thing. So I always knew that we were solving for that kind of issue. I think the second part of it is we were really led by women on the app and on the platform and what they were talking about. And we saw a lot of women talking about secondary fertility. So they'd had a baby or they were a mom by whatever route and they wanted to have another child and they weren't falling pregnant or they weren't being successful in their attempts. And we kept looking at these conversations which were growing and trending on the platform and said, well, hang on, what about the women who have never had a child? What about women who are at the very start of their conception or fertility or route to motherhood? Where do you go to talk to another woman who's also going through adoption process? How do you find another woman who's also going through IVF? You don't walk around your office with a little name tag on that's just like, hi, I'm Michelle, I'm on round four of IVF. How do you do that? Well, on Peanuts, exactly what you do. You do go on and say, hi, I'm going through cycle three or whatever it might be. And that was a real important eye-opener, I think, for my team as well, which is this is not just about women who have had this key life stage and change where they've become a mother. This is about roots in and accesses to motherhood too. And then more recently, as we have children later, and the statistics show that women are having children later, menopause actually and motherhood, the distance between the two is reducing. In fact, it's not just reducing, we're also experiencing menopause earlier than previous generations. Yeah. And we know more about it. So we are starting to have women who are talking in their mid-30s about hormonal changes, which are representative of perimenopause. And so what we wanted to say is, hey, if you're going through something, you can come and talk about that on Peanut. And that could be perimenopause, menopause, motherhood, pregnancy, trying to conceive. It could be any of those issues, but really focusing on those key life moments where women are experiencing a change and being the platform where you can have those conversations. Because you're not, however much you love other social media, and I love social media, I'm a big consumer of it, you're not using Instagram to talk about the fact that you've had, your periods have become irregular now. Mm. Or you're not using it to say, it's month six and I haven't fallen pregnant. Or whatever the consumption of TikTok and Reels and how you're consuming that kind of content. It is very loose connections. And we really want this to be about strong ties and women finding those ways to find those strong connections and strong ties. And it's a mission, and we're at the very start of it, to be honest. We still do a really good job for pregnant women and new mums.
Yeah.
And we still have a lot more to do for women at these other life stages, but we've started.
Yeah, wow, it's exciting. I'm sure you'll do incredible things. You already are. It's honestly so needed, as you know. And yeah, there's so many different groups in my mind already as when you were talking, the different stages and those close ties or strong ties, as you called it, when you make those, they last forever. I definitely have some of those female relationships that one of them, because exactly as you said, when I was going through IVF, I didn't know anyone who was going through IVF. And again, a lot of my friends didn't have kids and they'd just say to me, oh, but at least you've got Jude. Is it like, because my son then was maybe five, so I'd been trying to get pregnant since he was two, so I'd had 3 years, and people would go, oh, but at least you've got Jude. And that's not really what you want to hear. Or other people would say to me, oh, when are you going to have another one? Jude's five. Come on, hurry up. When are you going to have another one? And other people, who you didn't really know, whether it was, for example, at the school gate, it might be a mom, it might be someone, it might be a hairdresser, it could be anyone who wouldn't know that you just literally 2 weeks before had a miscarriage and say to me, oh, when are you going to have another baby? So those kind of conversations for me, when I was doing IVF, exactly as you described, I didn't know anyone who was doing it. And then I met a woman, it was through a work event. She was working for a PR company in beauty PR. I was speaking on a panel randomly. She said, must have said to me something like, oh, that she was doing IVF treatment, and I just looked at her and I was like, oh my gosh, me too. And then literally this was how many years ago, maybe 6-7 years ago, my IVF didn't result in a baby, hers resulted in twins. We are still friends now, we're still really good friends. And it's like, that eye contact that day that was like, oh my gosh, me too, because I didn't know anyone else who'd done it. This was, like I said, 7-8 years ago. And it's those ties, those strong ties, those real female bonds that you need and that you make,
yes.
they really, I do think they last forever. You know, I can't imagine, you know, we're going to be friends for life because of what we went through together, even though it was, you know, separate, it was together.
It's that shared experience. It's that fact that no one will truly know what it feels like, what that moment feels like, apart from someone else who has lived that. When you know that it hasn't worked and it's the fourth round and you're out, you know, you agreed to give it one last go and then you're out. And that is also grieving, right? Mm. You need to talk to another woman who knows what that grieving feels like. And those moments, but for a platform which is specially built for it, where do you have it? You know, we're very thoughtful about what you see on Peanut. If you tell us you're trying to conceive, we don't show you anything about pregnancy and new motherhood, because why would you want to? Mm. You know, we don't. And yet there are so many difficult lines. If you've been trying for 7 years and you finally fall pregnant, the first thing you want to do is share that picture, right? And you want, it's a natural reaction. And therefore we really have to think about how we, what we show and how we show it to people. And truthfully, I believe this very, very, very much, a man can't do it in the same way as a woman can from a product build perspective, because yeah. they're just not thinking about the same emotional experience. And there are many things that men can do and will bring to it. And there are men on my team. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the imagined product experience of what that looks like. That's why you won't ever see that in a product that is yeah. built by a guy.
Yeah.
Because they're not thinking about it in the same way. And there is such an emotional storytelling element of UX and UI that I think is often forgotten. Mm. And it's an art. And we care deeply about it, and it's so important to that experience, so that a woman can say, "They get me."
Yes,
this
yes.
product gets
and
me.
And it's not yes, because we can tell. And I'm sure you know someone who's worked in a technology app myself, and we all know because we use so many applications every day. You can. It just feels so different when it's been designed by an exclusively male team. And I think actually that's probably a great segue into my next question, which was about, regardless of whether somebody's a founder within this particular space, whether it's parenting, motherhood, whether it's fertility or something completely different, I think that I'm sure you've had so many different opportunities, different requests. I'm sure everyone in your team has got ideas of new features and new products and new things that you could do and you could launch. And, you know, I'm sure there's a million and one things. You're probably not short of ideas.
Sure.
And so yeah. I think for a lot of founders, my husband and I, you know, we do consultancy with different founders. And typically the main common thing is that they're trying to do all the things, everything at once, you know, be and do everything. But it feels like you've been very focused and deliberate about the things that you have done and when you've done them. So I guess, what would your advice be to any founders who are looking around and thinking, okay, we've got to do everything all the time, all at once, when it comes to prioritization and decision making and opportunities yeah. and what to do when? What advice would you give them?
This is a really hard one, because also you have that moment where, because it's your idea, you want to go first. I don't want anyone else to build this, right? I want to get out there and say it's mine. And I'm also guilty of it, right? I absolutely felt convinced that Peanut had to be the platform to talk about menopause, because no one was. And I'd been talking about it, you know, internally and with my board for such a long time. And, you know, no one was really thinking about it. And I was like, this is a natural progression. Women who menstruate do go through menopause. We have to do this. So, you know, there are these moments where you don't want to miss the beat and you don't want to miss timing. And timing is a lot to do with success of a product as well. You could have the best product, but if the market isn't ready, the market isn't ready. So, that, you know, you can't underestimate that. But there's a difference between vision and what you want to do eventually and what you can deliver on today. So vision is amazing. And if there are those things that you want to build, put that in the vision. That's long term. Tell yourself and your team you can build it in 12 months, 18 months, 24 months. But right now, what can you deliver on consistently, which will drive a metric? And I think a lot of people don't understand it. I definitely didn't understand it at the start either with Peanut, which is you get to choose whatever that success metric is. And you kind of have to shut off what the noise is. Largely speaking, apart from the fact that you need to make sure you've got money to turn the lights on or whatever it might be, you get to choose what that metric is. Mm. So if your metric is, I want anyone who downloads Peanut to use it every day, Okay, I know that the only metric I'm focused on is delivering daily engagement. So what are the features I'm now going to build with a daily engagement lens on? Or if I know that my metric is I want every user who downloads Peanut to make a connection, one connection, if I know every single person has to make one connection, what are the things I'm going to build to do that? And as soon as you look at it in that deliverability of like, that's my goal, what are the things I'm going to build to get there? Everything else does just become noise. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't raise your head and look at the noise and think about which ones you're going to, you know, channel going forward. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to add metrics along the way. Of course you add metrics along the way. But if you start with that, it's a really good way to get clarity about what you build.
Yes, yes. I think that is really, really good advice. And it's very clear and focused and practical, which obviously what we know what's measured is important. If you don't measure something, you can't, you know, how do you know? How can you say, oh yeah, actually in 6 months' time, we're doing well or we're on target? Because as you say, typically those numbers I think are just usually to do with revenue, to do with the number of customers using your product, and actually at what cost, because you could double the number of people downloading the product. But as you said, if they're not actually using it, if they're not giving it, if they're not having a good experience, if you've got double the number of customers, but everyone's giving it a one-star review, then actually, yeah, I think that's a really, really great piece of advice that I will share with some of our either founders or people that are currently in their kind of pitch deck stage, you know, because it's often the thing. There's so much noise. There's so much, you know, everyone's telling probably them different things and do everything all at once. And as we know, it doesn't always, it's not possible. It's not sustainable for success, especially in the apps space.
And it's okay to say, because everyone is also always telling you all of the things, you know, you cannot imagine how many times someone has said to me, why don't you do e-com on Peanut, because you've got the audience and they want to buy stuff. And I'm like, that's amazing, because that's an entire product which I am not the right person to build right now. And I want to do this really well. Now, does it mean that I can't do e-com in the future? No. Does it mean that we can't get the right team to do it? No. But right now, what we're really excelling at and focusing on is building the best community for women who are going through these life stages. And that's okay to kind of say no. In fact, if you say yes, you'll end up with a Frankenstein of a product, I think.
I'd love to talk to you about well-being and wellness, because, you know, I work in the well-being industry. I have done for years. The well-being industry has evolved so much for the better, I think, you know, and we understand now the connection between our physical, our mental, our emotional, our spiritual health, that these things are all connected. You can't just go and train the body in the gym, or, you know, go and do this for your mental health. It's all connected all the time. And there's been some really, really great changes from a well-being perspective. And I think people, corporate environments, employers, people are starting to kind of understand actually the impacts of stress, the impacts of sleep deprivation for new mothers or new parents, all these things. So I guess my first question about well-being for you is, I suppose, you know, as a founder, and again, as a mother, I never want to be that like, oh, how do you do it all? Because people don't ask those questions to male founders. Like, wow, you've got kids. How do you, you know, have time for the gym? Yeah. So I hate that rhetoric. However, I do think that things come at a cost, and you can't always, you know, sometimes the cost can be your own well-being. So I guess there's a question in there somewhere, and that is, how do you prioritize, your own well-being? And what does that look like for you? Mm.
This is a really interesting one, because my husband and I were speaking about it this morning. So it is choice and it is balance, and it's about the things that you choose to do and when they make sense for you. And what brings you joy? So it's also linked to something we were talking about in Peanut recently as well. But what brings you joy? What brings me joy is taking my kids to school. It brings me so much joy. My mum didn't take me to school. You know, it was back in the day, you could walk to school and whatever, and I was very used to just being independent. Get up, you go to school, you come home on your own. But I take my kids to school and I love doing it. And if I didn't do it, I'm not sure when I would see them, because then life is so busy afterwards. So I want that time with them. I love like mornings and brushing their teeth in the kitchen sink and all these other crazy things that we do, but I love it. And that brings me joy, and that brings me wellness. That makes me feel mentally strong and ready for the day. And that makes me feel able to deal with just about anything, because I know that it's not that long until I get to do that again. So I find that very important. Similarly, what we were talking about this morning is, gosh, you know, there are other parents who have gone out and, you know, got up at five and done a run and done all these things before they did this. And that's true. And that works for them. And that isn't what we currently do, rightly or wrongly. And so it is choice, and it is about making sure that you do what makes you happy and what makes you tick. But recognizing that is really important. So for the longest time, at the start of Peanut, I did a lot of things that I thought I was meant to do. This will make me successful. I need to have Pilates twice a week because that's what I need. So I can tick that off my list, and I've made sure that I've done that part. And then I need to, you know, do these things. And these are all of the things that will make me better, do my lunges, drink apple cider vinegar, whatever it is. These are the things. And actually, the things are calm in my brain, like being able to have moments of calm. And that means I like to go to bed. I may sound like a loser, but I like to go to bed with a cup of tea at whatever time I finish working. And I just want to sit in my bed and drink a cup of tea. It's weird, but I love it. It brings me such calm in my brain when I have moments of really not calm and everything feels like insurmountable. That gives me a moment of calm. And that is more important to me than the Pilates class that week. Mm. Does it mean that I don't need to do fitness and things for my health? No, but I just now try and find things that I love rather than things that I think I should be doing. I want to do a dance class because I love dancing. Yeah. And that for me is the joy. So it's just those moments of joy and recognizing it. But I'm 41 now, and it's taken me, you know, many years to get to this point. And not doing things that I felt I should do because I had to say that I was doing them, and just do the things that I love doing.
Yeah. And doing the things that you can do right now, because, you know, we talked before about Absolutely. The different stages. And I've got friends who, you know, if they're got little ones right now and they're waking up in the night all the time, and then the morning, as you said, the idea of, you know, go for a run or do a class, and they're just like, literally their eyes are red, you know those days, their eyes are burning.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm like, maybe now's not the time to be on your gym game. But then, you know, now I think of, again, about anecdotally, my son's older, you know, whether it is in the morning, because he can get his, you know, they can, I've got stepkids as well, but, you know, they can get the cereal out, they can get the toast out. In fact, it's quite fun. It's like, right, there's the jam, there's the bananas, whatever, do your own thing, I'm doing Pilates. But also sometimes now he's got so many clubs, there's so many activities after school, and different clubs where I stand on the sideline with an umbrella, like freezing in the rain, watching him play rugby or whatever. So now as well, I just sometimes try and double up. So I'll go in my kit, you know, drop off at rugby, I can do just a quick 5k and then still get back, watch half of the game. And it's kind of like, you know, just, it just changes. And I think that thing of the pressure, taking the pressure off, if you're in a season where actually you're not getting anything for yourself and your own well-being. And I never want to say to people, don't do it, because let's be honest, it's usually the first thing to go. And actually it is restorative, and we do need to tell women, you know, prioritize yourself. But if it's just not happening for a while, it can just be a season. And you know that actually when that season changes, you'll get time again, or you can create time in different ways to like stack it up so that you still get to do your thing.
And also, you know, combining it with other things is exactly right. So on Sunday, my daughter, she's four.
And so, she's adorable, she's by the way. I'm sorry, I know people will probably tell you that, but like, oh my gosh, she's just the most adorable little thing.
She's so tiny. She's just, it's made all the more adorable by the fact that she's a very mini person. And just hilarious, and very different to my very kind of earnest and sweet son. She's just a whole new fireball. But on Sunday, she had a very clear, I want to go on the bike. And, you know, it's Sunday, it was a nice day, but did I want to go and do it? No, I didn't. But you know what? Great, because you know what? You go on the bike, I can get some like fitness in as well, I can run alongside you. And it was heavenly, and I felt so good, and we got home. And so it is like, there will be moments where you can do that. And it's much harder to say yes. It's easy to say no, but saying yes can be hard. It's like, oh, can I be bothered? Can I face it? But the feeling afterwards was worth it. So I think just finding joy is my new attitude to life. Moments of joy.
Love that. Love that. I definitely am on that one right now, especially after this dreary winter. I'm so ready for some joy and some sunshine and some fun and a cocktail. looking forward to that. But for now, this is the Power Hour podcast. At the end of every episode, which I'm kind of sad that it will come into the end, but at the end of each episode, I ask the guests to tell us about their Power Hour. So the first hour of their day, what does it include? What does it exclude? What does it typically look like? So Michelle, could you tell us the first hour of your day? What does it typically look like?
Well, the first hour of my day is I now hilariously have to wake up a little bit earlier than she. The fireball comes into the bedroom at 6:30 every morning, but I now have to time it 10 minutes before so I can actually, I do the email check. We all have to do it. It just gives me kind of peace of mind that I know what's in there. And it's similarly for Slack. So it's an email and Slack check. Do I know what's in there? Even if there's any scaries, at least I know what they're there to do and I can think about how to address them. My daughter comes in, that's it, the day started and we're all up and we're pretty kind of military in the morning, to be honest.
Yeah. You have to be. You have to be.
You have to order be. And it's breakfast. Absolutely. It's breakfast. It's spellings. It's reading. It's currently phonics. Everyone's worst nightmare. It's phonics. It's getting everything ready. It's, you know, lunch boxes and water into the bag and getting ready and getting the dog ready if I'm going into the office. I go into my office twice a week.
Getting told 5 minutes a week. Probably getting told 5 minutes before that it's world book day today. I need a costume. Right. I need a costume. You're like, what?
Mummy, can I have a fiver? What do you need a fiver for? Oh, it's some collection, bake sale, something. Yeah. Those kind of things. So we're all out of the house, including the dog. If I'm in the office, I take her in. That is the hour. I have made things work. So the night before, I put their uniforms downstairs in the kitchen. So their uniforms are laid out. So that in the morning, it's literally wash face, brush teeth, everything in the kitchen. That's assembly what we line. Do. It's very old school. And it's an assembly line. Exactly that. We've got an old like Arga. So everything's heated on the Arga. Nice. They get that's nicer than when I grew up. That certainly didn't exist. And that's us and we're out the house. So it's a power hour and a half, by the way, to really get that working and slick.
I've got a question for you, Michelle, because some people have been on the show, I mean a lot of people actually over the last few years, and said, I do not look at tech in the morning, I do not have tech in the morning, and you know, I would never open my emails first thing, I would never go on social media first thing. It hijacks, you know, it can hijack your state of mind and everything. So you said then Slack check, email check, like you said, I want to know what's coming at me. And then if there is something in there that's like, oh my gosh, Michelle, crisis. And then you're like, can't deal with it now. Got to get the kids to school. Got to brush the teeth. Got to do the breakfast. Are you able to kind of put that out of your mind until 8:30, 9 o'clock? Or could it potentially send you into a tailspin where it's like, oh my gosh, this is crisis. And now I've got to do the kids. Like, how do you manage that?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, and it is hard, but when it's your business and your baby, if there is something that is crisis, yes, I have to bow out. Yeah, I have to leave it to my partner, right? Yeah. I'm very fortunate. There's two of us and he's very capable and he can do it. It's not an option for everyone. I understand that. But for us, that's what works.
Great.
It happens sometimes. Also, sometimes, you know, you've got a meeting at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
That means I am out. I'm getting myself ready and out the door and, you know, I leave it to him. And similarly, I do the same if he has. So I'm pretty honest with him about if I need to break. And that's just reality. I can't beat myself up over it. But I don't like unknown unknowns. Mm. I like to know what's in there.
Yep.
And that for me just feels like control. Mm. In fact, it feels like a lack of control if I have not done that check before I have left the house. I don't like to leave the house like that. Yeah. I mean, what if the app's down? What if I need to call my CTO? Yeah. What if there is something, you know, what if there is, I don't know, a safeguarding issue? Whatever it is, it's my job and I have to do that. And I think it's unrealistic for me to be able to say, no, I'm not going to check.
No, I think it's great for people to hear. Because as I said, sometimes, you know, we hear what we should do or what we could do or the best version of the thing. And actually, I think it's good for people to hear. Because as I said, Michelle, a lot of people look to you and look up to you and will go, oh, you know what? Great. I don't feel so bad now that actually in the morning, I quickly scroll through my emails when I'm cleaning my teeth. And actually, you know, I don't know if you do that at the weekend or whatever, but for some people, it's like, you know, there's time and place. And, you know, if it is overwhelming you and you know, you're overwhelmed, you're burnt out, you're stressed out, maybe not the best way to start your day looking at emails. But I think also not everybody's a founder. Some people who do that, you know, it's actually not their company, and actually they probably could wait till after they've, you know, opened their eyes a bit. It's good for people to hear.
You have to make that decision. And by the way, I do it on a Saturday and Sunday as well, because I am, like, that's my job and I am always on. But let me tell you, I don't bounce out of bed on a Saturday and Sunday. Are you joking? My favourite thing in the world is when I make a deal with my kids and they can get into my bed on a Sunday morning and we watch, you know, Nuala is still obsessed with Bluey. And we watch, you know, 15 episodes of Bluey with my son reading his book next to it. Like, the best thing in the whole world. And I have to have that moment of, like, not bouncing out. But don't beat yourself up for whatever your routine is. If you have to check, you have to check.
Yeah, do it your way. Yeah, great.
Do it your way. Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much again for joining us. I know that the listeners of the show are going to love it just as much as I did. And thanks everyone for tuning in. As always, I will be back next week with another episode. Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks so much.